welcome to brand new season five. Season five of Sports Club. Wow. Little did I know that many years ago. Season five. A little different format. Occasionally we're going to have some people on the show, as always. We're going to really try to talk some. We're going to talk some NBA once that kicks around. The Gladiators got a couple things going to mention about them in the next coming weeks. Talk a little hockey, you know. We'll probably talk. We'll get into some other stuff a little later on, but it's NFL season, so that's exactly what we're going to talk about. Just some of the bigger things for now. And there hadn't been a lot this summer. There's been the same storylines that are always going around. Antonio Bryant is a diva receiver. He can't find a helmet. He doesn't know how to use a cryogenic chamber. Or hyperbolic, I don't know, the freezing chamber. He doesn't know how to use that. He ends up blistering his feet. He's not sure he wants to show up. And then everything has a way of working out. A couple of these situations we'll talk about, it reminded me of when we go to the dentist. And just hear me out on this. It's like when we go to the dentist. When you go to the dentist, going to the dentist is like the AB situation. It's like the Ezekiel Elliott situation. It's like the Washington franchise from a couple years ago, the big debate on their nickname. It's like that. It's like at this point being a fan of the Dolphins, Cardinals, or Bengals even. And it's like this. When you go to the dentist, you're all nervous. You're not sure how things are going to go. You're hoping for the best. It's not even the time or the money. Sometimes it's just you're nervous because you're not sure what's going to happen. Even though you know in the back of your mind, there's like a 99.9% chance everything is going to swimmingly be great. And even if things go south, there's that guy there, the dentist, or that girl, even, that should be able to help you out, right? When you're a fan of Miami, of Arizona, of Cincinnati, when you're a Cowboys fan watching this Zeke thing as it's recently played out, if you're a Raiders fan watching how the AB situation plays out, just relax. Just trust the process. Trust the people involved. There's going to be some pressure. You might feel a little pain, a little discomfort. But it should work itself out. And in these situations, you got to think. Browns fans for the past 20 years or so, you guys trusted the process, and now there's a pretty entertaining product. Not sure how many wins are on the board. We'll get to that a little later. But it seems to have a way of working out to where you're at least entertaining at this point. Dolphins fans, it's clear you guys are playing for next year. You're getting draft capital. You've gotten rid of majority of the people who were considered your better players. You still have some good players, though. Cardinals, we're not sure where you're at in this process, but you got a couple pieces. I don't know. And the Bengals, I think the Bengals are going to be better than people think they are. But, as far as being a fan of those teams, like I said, it's like going to the dentist. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. It's going to be a little, you're going to be a little unsure of the direction of how these things are going to go. But you have to trust the people involved. You have to trust the process. Trust them to make good decisions. If you don't, pick another team. But like with the AB situation, like I said, he is a diva receiver. He is really, really good, but he's another diva receiver. He's a Terrell Owens. He's an Ocho Cinco. He's a Joe Horn. I don't mind it because I like characters. I like to be entertained. He's not on my team. And once again, people weren't sure what was going to go up. At some point, he thought he might retire. He may not play anymore if he wasn't allowed to play with the helmet he wanted to. Well, newsflash, he's not only shown up to camp, he's not only been practicing, but he found a helmet that he actually likes. And it wasn't even one like he used to have. He found one that works. He's adaptable. You know why? Because he wants to continue to play in the National Football League. And in order to do that, he had to adapt, just like everybody else did. Tom Brady said he didn't like the new helmets either. The one he wears now weighs a full pound more than the one he used to. But beyond that, did Tom Brady sit out? No. Did he threaten to retire? No. I'm not sure if he ever will. He did the professional thing, and this is not to pump up Brady to you guys. And I'm not a Brady homer. You guys know that by now. And if you're new to the show, I may be a diehard Michigan fan and a big Brady fan, but I don't defend anybody just to defend him. He moved on. He adapted. And guess what? That's what AB did. AB just did the same thing. Now we've got the Ezekiel Elliott. Touches a little closer to home. Zeke says, you know what? I know Amari Cooper is due to get paid. I know Dak Prescott is due to get paid. I know I'm due to get paid next year. But you know what? I want my money now because I'm the best. He actually said that earlier. He said, I want to be the highest paid running back because I'm the best. Oddly enough, he's right. So, things he did. He said, Mexico. I'm going to go to Cabo, Mexico. Okay, that's what he did last time when he was... He does that. He apparently goes down there to train. It's where he can seclude himself and limit the amount of cameras and media attention. That's just where he goes. And the reason we know this is this time around, so that he could stay and play in shape, he brought Marshall Faulk down, Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk, who continued to work with him. Continued to keep him in game shape. Even when he called in the Dan Patrick Show, would not give Dan any information one way or the other. I think Marshall knew a little bit, but I think purposely he wanted to stay away from the situation that way. Zeke didn't care if the market got reset for running back, a big second contract, but he's one of the anomalies. Le'Veon Bell sat out and he finally got his money. Similar thing here. Joe Mixon probably looking at a similar thing there. I like Joe Mixon. I like Saquon. I think those are two of the upcoming guys. Darius Geis in Washington. Watch out for that guy. I think now that he's healthy, it's going to go pretty well for him. But like I said, he went to Mexico. He continued to train. And then out of nowhere, a couple days ago, we hear Zeke is in Dallas. And then short while later after that, Zeke's agent is in Dallas. That told me a deal was about to hit. And they did. They freed up some capital. You know, they paid DeMarcus Lawrence. This is the Cowboys I'm talking about. They paid DeMarcus Lawrence. They paid Jalen. They were able to pay Leo Collins. And it freed up some capital. And in doing so, they're not going to break the bank. I mean, you still got to pay Dak. Still got to pay Amari at some point. But they're not breaking the bank. Ezekiel Elliott, I believe, it's a six-year extension, a little over $100 million. I believe 50 or 60 of it is guaranteed. That's not going to reset the market. That doesn't reset the market. That's a good deal. I think that's team-friendly a little bit. It's more player-friendly than team-friendly, but we're looking 65-35, you know, 60-40, somewhere in that boat there, I think is what we're looking at. I don't have a problem with it, honestly, because now the Cowboys can move on. Now we know where everything sits. They can worry about the other two guys they need to pay on top of all the other guys that they paid. I feel like one of them's going to get franchise tag. Not sure which. But, once again, you just relax. You trust the process. You trust the people involved. Was there a little discomfort, Cowboy fans? Yeah. Was there a little pain? Misunderstanding. I just overall confusion at times. Yeah. But since you trusted Jerry and Stephen Jones, you trusted Zeke, you trusted his agent, you trusted the media to stay out of it long enough, this deal got done. The Rams fans don't have to worry about this. You know, Jared Goff is now the highest paid guy in the game. Highest paid guy ever. They kind of snuck that in just like the McVay contract. You know, good for him. Next guy up is potentially Dak Prescott, but next year is when Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, and some others are coming due, and that's when the sky may be the limit there. Talk about a market reset. The quarterback market. At some point, you just got to go, I don't care if you're next man up or not. You're not worth what the other guy is. Because none personal. I'm not the world's biggest Dak fan. Some of you guys know this. Others, just listen. I'm not saying he's bad, but he's not top of the line. Is he better than Aaron Rodgers? Let's do this real easy. Is he better than Aaron Rodgers? No. Is he better than Tom Brady? No. Is he better than Drew Brees? No. Is he better than Phillip Rivers? No. Is he better than Matt Ryan? No. Well, there's five right there. Is he better than Big Ben Roethlisberger? No. Well, there's six already. I got Deke somewhere right up. Deke. I got Dak somewhere outside the top 10. Which is fine for what they do in Dallas. He's a good fit. I'm not saying he's a bad player, nothing like that. I've always considered him the bridge to the next guy, which is why I would give him about a 2 or 3 year extension. But as far as Zeke, you trust the process. It's a little uncomfortable, and then it gets done. And then you're good to go. So if you're a fan of one of those teams like the Dolphins, the Cardinals, the Bengals, if you're a Cowboys fan or a Zeke fan, if you're an AB fan or if you're a Raiders fan, like I said, all you had to do was trust the process and it would get done. And so it got done. We'll talk a little about the Falcons. They've been able to sign a lot of their young pieces. They've got a lot of people healthy now. They are freeing up money for Julio. Julio's deal, I would imagine, will be sometime tomorrow. You know, Michael Thomas's deal in New Orleans a couple weeks ago would be, it was a good deal for Michael Thomas. It didn't reset any market. It showed his value, his worth. He's a top five guy. But Julio's best in the league. Julio's deal is going to be above Michael Thomas's. It's Arthur's way of ultimately saying, you're a Falcon for life. Everybody's healthy. Devontae, he's healthy. Matt Ryan, healthy. Nobody realizes, or a lot of people don't realize, nobody's really talking about the Falcons. That way they can sneak through. Nobody is really talking about Matt Ryan, who had probably one of the best years of his career last year. Nobody gives him credit for that. The Falcons guys are healthy. They're dangerous. They're fast. They're quick. Fast and quick are two different things. This Falcons team is going to be so much fun. So much fun. There's that depth. I mean, at some point, we say it all the time. We've said it on this show for many years. This time, it's Danny Etling, I believe is his name. Saw him a little bit in the preseason. Is he the future? Is he the guy they're going to look to after Matt? I don't know. Say, as much as I would like to say maybe, I honestly don't think so. That is why they signed Chris Sims this offseason, though. They signed him so that he could work with Danny Etling because Matt Ryan is It's not that he refuses to. I just don't think he knows how to teach what he does. Peyton was not very good at mentoring as far as teaching what he did, because what he did, it's hard to teach the way he does things. And so they brought Sims along to help Etling to see what they have in him. They'll probably stash him on a practice squad. Well, something crazy happens. Matt Schaub is probably still your back. Not much of an issue there. But, yeah, Falcons fans, I'm not doing the schedule thing. I know a lot of you guys have reached out and said, let's, you know, how many, I'm not going there with that. Definitely not going there with that. You know what, I'm going to mention a little bit of Atlanta United stuff. Just one little note, couple little notes, and then I'm gonna tell you guys how I feel about the way these divisions are gonna shake out, and I'm gonna give my Super Bowl pick. I mentioned my Super Bowl pick just a couple days ago to John Watts, who works here at Impact Media and does some stuff with us as well, and he was a little surprised on one in particular. And I was talking to a Falcons fan earlier today, that I talk to pretty regularly, and I mentioned it to him as well. And he tried to give me a couple reasons to talk me off of it, but I feel pretty good about it. It's just interesting that way. But like I said, I wanted to mention this one thing about Atlanta United. Like I said, this time around, we really are going to focus a lot more on Atlanta United, on the Hawks when they're in. We're going to have some cool guests on, like we've had before. We'll talk Gladiators, obviously. It'll be a lot of fun this year. Like I said, we're going to have all kinds of different guests and excerpts and various things like that. And of course, we're still doing our Kennesaw State, Georgia State show, the game plan, which should drop. This week's show should drop sometime tomorrow night. That's what it's looking like there. It'll be a little earlier in the week normally. This week was a little crazy because I was actually at the KSU game and we were watching the Georgia State game from the media booth. So both spectacular games there. We'll talk more about those tomorrow night. The thing I want to say about Atlanta United is this is how good this team is. A lot of people say, well, new coach. Well, a lot of new working parts, new pieces, things like that. Okay. So you guys expect them to take a step back. All right, I said let's wait and see. And it's a good thing we did. Because in the last 9 months, they won the MLS Cup. That was last season. They've won the Campeones Cup. And they've won the Open Cup. These are three different trophies, three different style tournaments and ways to win them. And they've won all three of those in 9 months. So for anybody who once again says that oh, they're going to take a step back, they're not as good, just to check the results. They're more than likely going to be in the playoffs this year. I believe they currently sit in second, if I'm not mistaken. But this team finds new ways to win, and Joseph Martinez finds ways to put balls in the back of the net. It's just everything's coming together. The depth might be deeper than the Falcons are all the way across the board. It's insane that they can stack together 18 players that could start anywhere at any time across the league. Now, I told you guys I want to finish up by going through the divisions. Do this semi-quick. Try to. I'm going to go through the divisions, not really a team-by-team preview, but just kind of go through and give you guys a heads up as to how I think these things are going to shake out. Let's start in the AFC East. The Miami Dolphins are more than likely going to be the fourth place team in that division. They're more than likely going to have a top three, top four pick. But by now, you guys realize that you're clearing the deck so that you can start over. trading Tunsil didn't make a lot of sense to me, but with the pieces you got back, okay. Third place in that division is going to be the Buffalo Bills. I really like Josh Allen. He can really fling the ball. He's got people he can throw the ball to, like John Brown. He's got a good running back up there with Frank Gore, the ageless wonder. I'm a big Frank Gore fan. But they're looking at third place. Second place in the division, taking a huge, huge step up, New York Jets. I really like Sam Darnold. I like a lot of pieces they have. I think their defense is super scary. I think that if their offense can put up, 15, 20 points a game, I feel like they could probably be a 7-win team. 7 or 8 wins. Maybe more. Just depends. Because, once again, the New England Patriots, who seem to be shifting focus, Colin called this out the other day, it seems to be they're going more with a power game. Big, tough receivers that can block. Running backs who just wave after wave after wave. And Tom Brady running the whole show. On top of fast-moving parts on defense, which is Belichick's, it's his scheme, his schematic. That's what he's good at. Patriots. So to recap that one, Patriots 1, Jets 2, Bills 3, Dolphins 4. AFC North. Cincinnati Bengals, you guys are going to be last place. Like I said, I think you're good for 4 or 5 wins, maybe. I think you're going to be better. People think you're going to be a train wreck. No, you're not. I don't think you're as bad as Miami, and you're definitely not as bad as Arizona. You're probably the third or fourth of the bottom. Well, they're going to be fourth. Third is kind of interesting. I've got... If it were me right now, I feel like the Cleveland Browns are going to be third, but probably by a game or a half a game because this division is notorious for multiple ties. The Browns are going to be third, but like a game. Right above that, the Baltimore Ravens, who have decided they're going to play old school football, they're going to kill you on defense, and they're going to run it down your throat on offense. This could actually work because everybody's prepared with nickel corners and everything else. So, maybe the league's not ready for that. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win this division. They got rid of the distractions. They still have Juju Smith-Schuster. They know how to draft receivers. They've got James Conner. They've got a couple other runners. And you've got Big Ben. Arguably one of the best of this generation. And Mike Tomlin. His defenses always show up and play. I mean, they got the Michigan kid up there. He's going to be special in the middle. They needed somebody to replace Ryan Shazier. They called on Michigan grad to do it. To recap, Steelers are 1, Ravens 2, Browns 3, Bengals 4. AFC South. Well, the retirement of Andrew Luck makes this a little more difficult. But I'll tell you right now, the Jaguars are looking at 4th place. It's no disrespect to him. Nick Foles is not going to be your savior. He's going to be okay. He's better than Bortles. But then again, so is Captain Crunch. This division is going to be real close. I mean, like, first and last place could be separated by, like, 2 or 3 wins. But I got Jaguars 4th. I got the Colts 3rd. I like Jacoby Brissett. I'm not saying they're going to be a dumpster fire, because they're not. Once again, I mean, all these teams could be 500. It's possible. But I got them in 3rd. I got the Texans in 2nd. And hear me out on this. I like Deshaun Watson a lot. Big fan of him, even Clemson days. I like a lot of the pieces they went and got. They went and got Laremy Tunsil. So now somebody's going to help him stay upright. They still have J.J. Watt. They traded Jadeveon Clowney to Seattle. I think it's a good move. Clowney was kind of clouding up their defense. He'll do well in Seattle. It worked for everybody. But as a sleeper, this is the one I'm going on record and saying it. The Tennessee Titans are going to win this division. Once again, just like I said with the Falcons, nobody's talking about them. But for Vrabel knows how to coach. Here's what their season will come down to. How long do they hang on to Mariota if he struggles before they go to Tannehill? Because I'm pretty sure Ryan Tannehill is better than Marcus Mariota, at least at this given juncture. And he's been a starter before. So if you leave Mariota, a struggling Mariota out there too long, then they're not going to win the division. But if he starts to struggle, how short is that leash? And that's what it's going to come down to there. Recap the AFC South. I've got the Titans, the Texans, the Colts, and the Jaguars. AFC West. I think it's pretty obvious when we get towards the top. At the bottom, I think it's Oakland. Oakland's probably looking at a top five draft pick. I think they're gonna be more entertaining, which is, you know, they are. They're gonna win some games here and there. Probably too many to get a really, really good pick. But they're going to lose just enough games to make Derek Carr sweat it out till the draft, which he should, because he's probably not going to be around next year. But, I mean, Oakland, Gruden can put together parts of teams, and he's got some other people around him that are doing good. I think Mayock's going to help him out a lot. I think he has helped him out a lot. But I've still got him in fourth place. Third place, the Denver Broncos. They're in this weird, you know, we thought Drew Locke might be the big helper there. Well, he's on IR. They got to figure out the quarterback position. So far, it looks like John Elway, it's back to that Peyton Manning thing. John Elway knows how to perform as John Elway. He doesn't know how to pick the next John Elway. And there's nothing wrong with that. It would be hard for me to pick the next me. It would probably be hard for you to pick the next you. It's your job. But past that, they still have Von Miller. They still have a pretty decent, an okay defense. They still got a lot of players there. They've got a couple people on offense worth paying attention to. Phillip Lindsay is still one of my favorite running backs currently. And it's not just because he's undrafted. It's like, no, it's the guy can play. You can tell he can play. So if he can get some blocking up front, they can get some yards and, you know, knock some people around. Second place in the division, the LA Chargers. I think they're going to take a slight step back, about a half step from what they did last year. Last year, to me, was their real window, and they couldn't get past the buffer, basically. And I don't think they're going to have the firepower this year to do it. Not having Melvin Gordon will probably turn out to be a bigger help than hurt. Melvin Gordon, you have no leverage. Eckler is as good, if not a better runner than you are, so just go ahead and set out all you want. He's probably going to end up on a different team for us over with. Melvin Gordon will, but I don't think he's going to play for the Chargers this year. And then finally, the Kansas City Chiefs. Stop me when you've heard this before. Blah, blah, blah. Patrick Mahomes, he's so good. Andy Reid, really good defense. Unbelievable offensive weapons out the wazoo. Yeah, you guys have heard it all before, so I don't really need to get into it too much. They're going to win. Recap, Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders there. Let's move to the NFC East. Taking my biasness out of this, because for people that don't know, I am a Cowboys fan, lifelong Cowboys fan, but I'm also real about it. The Washington franchise, thanks for coming, but you're the caboose. I like a lot of pieces they have over there. Like I said, Darius Geis, I think, is going to be one of those next-level guys that you thought you heard of, then you forgot about him because he missed all last year with an injury, and then this year he might be one of the top reasons to pay attention to him. Third place is the New York Giants. Once again, the longer that they stick with their struggling quarterback and Eli Manning and don't go to Daniel Jones, then they're looking at third or fourth place every year. Now, at this point, I have heard that they want to do the Kansas City Alex Smith Patrick Mahomes thing, where they would like him to study under Eli for a year and then probably turn him loose on it. Okay, not a bad strategy, but the New York fan base is not going to allow you to win six or fewer games again. So enjoy third place. Second place, and no, it doesn't pain me to say this, second place, the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas has one of the best rosters in the league. But I said one up. Now, Zeke's in camp. He's in semi-shape. They'll get everything going. They paid a lot of the guys already. Everything's pretty much ready to go. Outside of something dumb, it should do pretty well. I think they're good for double-digit wins, probably 10. The only difference is there is a more complete, disruptive... Well, let's put it this way. They have the more complete roster, the more disruptive, chaos-inducing roster is the Philadelphia Eagles, who are going to win this division. Once again, I said the Cowboys are good for probably 10 wins or so. The Eagles probably 11 or 12. Carson Wentz, if he stays healthy, probably league MVP or right there with it. I'll tell you who my real MVP is here in a minute. MVP choice. Carson Wentz, probably top three. Even if he gets hurt, I feel like their backups, they've proven before that I think it's more of the system. They've got a lot of quarterbacks there to really help people. And I think the system is what really helps them there. But once again, they just reload on defense. They running back by committee. Tons of weapons. They really like to get after you. They're really aggressive. Eagles win this division. Recap. Eagles in first. Got the Cowboys in second. Giants and Redskins to round it out. The NFC North. Detroit Lions, probably the most exciting thing about them this year is probably either their color rush uniforms or Matt Patricia throwing his pencil at somebody. I don't think they're going to be awful, but they're just going to be right there in that mediocre pack again. And at some point, they're going to start changing stuff up. And Matt Patricia, I think, is the coach you need to stick with right now. At some point, you got to be thinking for post Stafford, even though he's still really good too. You've never, outside of Calvin Johnson, what have you ever, Golden Tate, you haven't put that much around him. You haven't given him a line. You haven't helped him out that much. He's just going to be a stat accumulator, which is fine, I guess. But Detroit, you've had a couple shots, and this year ain't going to be one of them. Third place, just above them, is going to be the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are really good on defense. Kirk Cousins has got to prove that he can win in a game that starts after it gets dark. Right now, that's his biggest Achilles heel. Or one of them. Past that, I mean, they got Dalvin Cook. They've got pieces. They've got to play better in the primetime games. And in the games that matter. Second place is going to be Chicago Bears. The biscuit at quarterback is not a bad thing. Matt Nagy has a great scheme that makes him look good. They've got Cohen. They've got some of those other guys that work in pieces on offense. Their defense is starting to resemble those scary Bears defenses from the 80s. I think it was the 80s. Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. But the Bears are not going to be good enough to overtake the people who are going to win this division, the Green Bay Packers. Led by my MVP candidate, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron has so much to prove, because the more successful Aaron is this year, the more it makes it look like it wasn't his fault, it was Mike McCarthy's fault. Now, it's probably very mutual, honestly. But making Matt LaFleur look good, Matt LaFleur's learning enough to let Aaron be Aaron. He's got more pieces around him. They're so talented at wide receiver. They let Randall Cobb go, who they continuously brought back two or three times during the McCarthy era. Their defense is going to be scary good. Their defense is scary good enough they let Clay Matthews go. But the Green Bay Packers, they're playing possessed. They are potentially looking at an NFC title game, and Aaron Rodgers should be the leading candidate for MVP, because Aaron's going to show out. Aaron's absolutely going to show out. For obvious reasons, I'm going to leave the South till the end. NFC West, Cardinals at the back, on the bottom. I already told you, they're looking at number one, number two pick again. They're going to need a lot more than Kyler Murray, a lot more than they got. I feel bad for Larry Fitzgerald he's just never had the world's best quarterback. I mean, he's had a couple here and there, but he's never had a complete team, and when they did, they had one solid year and got to a Super Bowl and didn't win it. But, man, you just feel bad. He was never really on a big run. The Cardinals in fourth. I'm going to say the 49ers in third. The 49ers are going to be a lot better than last year. I'm not sold on Garoppolo. For one, he can't stay healthy. And two, when he is healthy, he hasn't looked good in the preseason. Preseason is preseason, I know. I'm the one that says that all the time. But at the same time, I feel like Kyle Shanahan, because after this year, they can free and clear move on from Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think they only owe him like a million or so as a cap hit. I very much think if Garoppolo struggles, we could start to see them move into the stable of random quarterbacks that they usually accumulate. And the fact that Shanahan could coach up the two he used last year and they got the results they did, Beathard and I can't even remember the other kid's name. That tells me it's the scheme, it's the system, it's not necessarily the quarterback. But they're in third. In second, you got the Seattle Seahawks. You can never count them out. They're probably looking at a wild card, honestly. They still have Russell Wilson. They still have Pete Carroll. They still have Bobby Wagner. They still have some of the better defenders in the game. They beefed up their offensive line. They got Jadeveon Clowney as a disruptor. Yeah, second place. First place, obviously, the Rams, but you know, I think them and Seattle are going to duke it out most of the year as to who's going to take it, and it's going to come down to a game or so. It really is. So, you know, Jared Goff, now the highest paid in the league. At the current moment, it doesn't look like they're going to lose anybody because of that. Seems like they got just enough money to go around. But you never know. We'll see how things shake out, but I got the Rams in first, Seattle second, San Francisco third, and Arizona fourth. Now let's round it out by going to the NFC South. I think Tampa Bay is still looking at being a bottom dweller for one more year. I think not. I feel like Bruce Arians is going to flush out, kind of trim the fat. He's going to flush out and see what he can get out of Jameis Winston. I very much think they're going to move on from him. He's going to go get a quarterback somewhere. I think he's going to bring in a veteran. I'm not sure who's going to be around at that point, but I think he brings in somebody for a couple years. I like a lot of their pieces on defense. They have some young chaos-causing defenders. But as long as Jameis is your quarterback, I don't think you're going to do much better than fourth. I think Cam's due for another Cam-like nosedive. I think they're third. You never know who their receivers are anymore because they keep getting rid of them. McCaffrey is a breath of fresh air that helps make Cam look better as long as he continues to hit him coming out of the backfield. But at some point, people are going to start keying in on him because he's about the most stable thing they have on offense. Defense, they always have a defense because Rivera knows how to put one together. I still like Riverboat Ron. I think this new owner is smart enough to keep him around, and I think they move off of Cam after this year. I mean, who knows? Maybe Arians goes after him. I doubt it. Second place, give me the New Orleans Saints. And no, I'm not homering out because this is a Falcon-based show. The New Orleans Saints are going to take a step back. That's 2 years in a row they've had ugly exits in the playoffs. They could potentially be a wild card. They're not going to have an ugly exit this year. They're just going to straight up not win. Breeze finally looked pedestrian towards the end. I think his arm was just worn out. I feel like there was a couple other things. He still does have Mark Thomas. They got Kamara. They got some other people that can really score. But what can this defense do? Is this defense going to have to stop people, especially the high-powered offense of the people who are going to win the division, the Atlanta Falcons? Once again, Julio is going to lead the league in yards, in receiving yards. Devontae is going to have double-digit touchdowns, rush touchdowns. Matt Ryan is going to have another banner year like he did last year. Dirk Cutter is going to make him look even better. And all those defenders who were on the IR from like week six on last year are going to be back. So there you go. To recap, Falcons, Saints, Panthers, Buccaneers. Now, Let's really get in people's head. And here is my season starts tomorrow Super Bowl pick. I think the most controversial one is my AFC, so I'll save it for the end. The NFC pick. Now, I just told you who my division winners are. Got the Falcons. Got the Rams. Got the Eagles. And who am I missing? Oh, and the Packers. Well, I'll tell you right now, it is one of those four. And no, it's not Green Bay. Representing the NFC this year in the Super Bowl is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles. And who are the Eagles going to play? Well, let's think about my AFC teams. Patriots, Steelers, Titans, Chiefs. Now the sexy pick, the one everybody's been saying, Chiefs. No. We can pretty much eliminate the Titans. And I'll tell you right now, as much as I never mind Brady or the Patriots being in it, it's not them either. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's going to be Eagles. It's going to be Steelers. It's going to be the Battle of Pennsylvania. It's going to be a fantastic Super Bowl. And that's my pick. That's my pick right there. As always, you guys can hit me up Facebook or Twitter at the Impact 99, at Team Impact Media, all kinds of places on Instagram at the Impact 99 or at the Impact 99, I think. Hit us up. Let us know if you want to email us, any of that kind of thing. Just reach out to us. Let us know what you think of my picks. Let us know the kind of things you want us to talk about. You know, we didn't do picks. We're going to do that real quick. What we always do when we do picks. This year we're going to do some guest picks and things like that, where each and every week I'm going to pick four games. One's going to be the Falcons game. Three are going to be what I think are interesting matchups across the board. And when we do guest picks, it'll be me versus the guest. And I don't know, maybe we'll throw in some fun stuff here or there on who wins those. But let's pull up the games. Exciting radio, I know. I'll tell you right now. Let's go Packers at the Bears, which is tomorrow night. I will absolutely tell you right now, Green Bay is going to win that game. And it's not because they're going to win their division, because they're going to be the most ready to go. Aaron Rodgers is ready to show off, and he's going to. Next game, there's the Falcons game. You get the Falcons at the Minnesota Vikings. Take the Falcons even on the road. They are better than the Vikings. They are going to beat them in Minnesota, hands down. Let's see. Steelers, Patriots. Steelers at the Patriots. I'll tell you right now, there's only a handful of teams that have ever went to New England and won games. I believe Pittsburgh is one of those. Baltimore is the other one. I think, the best time to beat the Patriots is in September when they are trying various things. So give me the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's three road dogs already. Wow. And the fourth game, the Texans at the Saints. Give me the Saints at home because they are almost unbeatable when playing in the Superdome. In fact, shout out to my parents who are not far from the Superdome at this given point. They are eating plenty of beignets for me and probably for you. And I hope they're having a great time. The storm kind of blew out their other plans of being on a nice cruise. So they decided to check out the great city of New Orleans for third or fourth time. It's a good city. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is episode 1, season 5. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble.